You know, as we were praying, I was thinking of how the Lord was going to start this, and I thought of, as a child, you remember there was a lot of kids, when they prayed, they'd go, God is good, God is great. And that's what I want us to think about, not just God is good. God is great. And when you really think about greatness, go through the scripture first and then go through your life. And you tell me God is not just really great. And in, this is not where the lesson is going to be, but in Psalms 145:3, it says, great is the Lord, and that's Jehovah, greatly to be praised. So if he's a great Lord and he's greatly to be praised, not just praise him, come before his in the gates and with thanksgiving. No, greatly praise him. Great things he hath done. And it's like his greatness is unsearchable. Then I went over and he led me to 147:5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. When we really realize not just God, but the God of grace, the God of all power, it's sufficient to meet every need we have. We're going to go to start with in Psalms 144. I'm kind of stuck on David. This is a warrior psalm. But let me tell you, if you're going to have a psalm, if you're going to sing a song, if you're going to be praising God greatly, I think you had a great experience with him. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. You know, David was blessed. But he says, blessed be the Lord. Why is he saying that? Because had it not been for him, had it not been for his goodness and his greatness, he knew, blessed be the Lord. If I'm blessed, it's because he is a blessing. He is the one who blesses. We've been blessed. But he said, he is. Blessed be the Lord, and here's why. My strength. Can you honestly say he is my strength? There's many times he's our strength, but when I'm really weak, that's when you see the mighty right hand of God. He's my strength. And I love this, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Notice he didn't say he taught me. No, he's still teaching David, no matter where he's grown from. As a child, when he was tending to sheep, when he fought, when he had came into this place that he was anointed, and he's sitting as a king. There are many things that go along with this, but he said, he's my strength. He teacheth my hands to war. He's the one who taught me how. He's the one who's taking my hands and telling me how to fight. I have to know how to use these weapons. If I have the sword of the Spirit, if we have the word of God, we must know how to use it. And God is not, you don't learn this overnight. There's not one man or one woman that knows it all. And if they do, they don't have a teachable spirit. We must know that where he's brought me to, he will continue to take me to another stage of glory, to more glory, and to more glory. What happens in between all those glories? He teaches me, and he's still teaching me. And my fingers to fight. You'll see, even with David, when I thought my fingers to fight. You know, this is a spiritual warfare. And I was thinking, even when Saul, the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, they went to find David. They went to find him. Why? Because he could take a harp and he could take his fingers and he could strum that harp and it would work for the glory of the Lord. Who taught his hands to do that? It was the Lord, mighty in strength and in power. It was the Lord who gave him that knowledge. But he sat there tending to sheep. That playing that harp brought a soothing spirit to Saul. And that spirit departed from him. And he was praising, he was thanking God. But it was like, not just play a harp, play spiritual songs. sing spiritual songs. He taught my fingers to fight. And then I look and he says, my goodness, he's my goodness. You know, in Romans it says, there's none good, no, not one. But we have come into a newness of life now. My goodness is of him. My fortress. He's my refuge. He's my hiding place. He's my high tower. He is my deliverer. He had to learn this. David had to learn all these different ways of deliverances, and we're going to go there. But it says, in whom? If he's my shield. We have a shield of faith. But who is training us? Who's teaching us in the Word of God? He's teaching us when Paul said, take unto you the whole armor and put it on. This is going to be the benefit for you. This is how you're going to fight spiritual battles. Spiritual battles with spiritual weapons. He's my deliverer, my shield, in whom I trust. Why could he say that? Because he found trust in no other. He knew that all that he had ever learned came by experience. You see, we hear the word of God, but when we take it in, we feast upon him. He works it. It's in. Now work out your own salvation. Just know and trust in me. That's when you're going to step out by faith. Who subdueth my people under me? And I was thinking of after he was anointed, when it says subdued his people under me. You think of how God said, I will make all your enemies to be subdued. All of them. They're going to come under his feet. Every knee shall bow. But I thought of David, how he says, how he subdueth my people under me. It is God who put me as a place of a king. He puts kings up. He puts kings down. But I love this because we're going to see in the following place that man calls so many people. Man calls and said, oh, I'm sure this is the one. Oh, I'm sure that's the one. But God has chosen and God has called. And we're going to see that. There were many in that family. Many in the family of Jesse. And they all thought it was this one, this one, this one, this one. God wants a trained person. He wants someone who has experience. And the first thing they must have is be weak in themselves. I don't know how to do this, but I know who does. And he'll give you whatever it takes. He will never give you something that his grace will not be sufficient. Lord, now you think of this. He's just said, blessed is he, and he's taught my hands, and he's did all these things, and he's my goodness. He said, Lord, when you have that much power and that much strength, and you're so wise, and you can put people to subdue them, put them in submission, what is a man? Lord, what is a man that you even take knowledge of him? Well, I guarantee you one thing he's taught me is this, us, as a son of God, we are showing the glory of God. We're not full grown. We're not imperfect yet in practicality. Always get that. People say, well, yes, we are. Provisionally, you are, but you are not in practicality. If you were, you wouldn't be here. I believe that. He would have already took you home. What is a man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you make an account of him? Man is such vanity, Lord. He says, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. And you know, in the end times, we're going to see when Jesus takes his throne, it's like he even says, David says, bow down the heavens, O Lord. Come down, touch the mountains. They'll be like smoke. What happened at Mount Sinai? Remember the thundering and the people didn't even want to approach? Well, in verse 10, it is he that giveth salvation unto kings. It is he who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Now I want you to go to, let's see. I want you to go over to 1 Samuel 17. I'm going to read a scripture in 16, verse 17. Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me." Then answered one of the servants and said, now what did they say? I want you to bring a man who can play well, right? Oh, we got the person. Then answered one of the servants and said, "Behold, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is a cunning player, mighty, valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters. He's a comely person, and the Lord is with him." That's the whole thing right there. You are my comfort, you're my staff, you are my stay. He's everything. And David, they're talking about him, how he's a valiant man. And it came to pass when the evil, oh, and I already told you that. Then he went and he played his harp. But I like over in verse 7 of chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "I do not want you to look on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see like a man sees, not as a man seeth. For man looketh on an outward appearance." It looks so good. But the Lord is looking on the heart. Jesse called his sons, one by one, by one, by one. In verse 11, Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all your children?" And he said, "Well, there remaineth yet the youngest." You see, oh, they're too young for that. "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." Yes, David did keep the sheep. And that was when he was leading. He was like a shepherd. But I believe he was learning, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The same way I'm taking care of these little sheep. And he said, "I'm taking care of them." And he said, "I will walk even through the valley of the shadow of death." But notice, I'm gonna walk through it, the valley of shadow of death. And it's just a shadow. If you get out here and you see your shadow, or you see somebody's shadow that hates you, do you think their shadow can hurt you? No, a shadow can do nothing unto you. It's a remembrance. It's a shadow. It cannot hurt you. The valley of the shadow of death, and I think of even this life that we walk. We've died with Christ. We've died with him. But whenever the old man raises up, tries to, you have to reckon him dead. Indeed, alive unto God. And he said, "Send him." And Samuel said to Jesse, "You send and you fetch him. We're not going to sit down till he comes." Because this is the one God chose. Little David, the one you would think, there's no way this little kid can do this. He sent and brought him in. Now he's ready with all beautiful countenance, goodly to look on. And the Lord said, "Arise." Not a hesitation. "Arise and anoint him now." So they anointed him, and this he is. He is God's anointed. Samuel took that horn of oil and he anointed him in the midst of the brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came down upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now we're going to go over to chapter 17. Because remember, David has learned so much from a child. And he keeps going and he keeps going. Just like us, we learn as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the childish things. It's time to grow up. Use all those experiences. There is a new experience tomorrow and today for us. Why? Because we want to know him in every facet, everything there is to know. I don't want to know about me. I just know that I can't. And I know when I'm weak, I'm strong in the Lord because I'm growing. David said to Saul in chapter 17 and verse 10, the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. You give me a man that we can fight together. He wants someone to fight with. And Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, and they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You know anybody else who does that? Makes you fear? Why is it in the Word of God? He said, be not dismayed. Fear not. The Lord your God is with you. And so then he goes over to verse 32. And David says to Saul, here's this giant. And we have to know our giant has been defeated. So what giant is coming in your life and making it look like you can't pass through? David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Don't be disheartened. You believe God. Thy servant, I'm here to serve you, but I'm here to serve the Almighty God first. The servant will go and I will fight this Philistine. And Saul says to David, you are not able to do this. Have you ever heard that from people? I don't think you're going to be able to do that. Well, David knows he's not going to do it. He's going to do it, but it's God who's with him that really empowers him. He knows God is faithful, not him. He goes against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. He's a man of war from his youth. David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. Now notice, he's going back. And he said, you know what? I was there and I kept my father's sheep. And there came a lion. Who does that remind you of? I know we're taught. Satan is like a roaring lion. He is coming to seek and devour those that it's possible to. It's the young ones because they haven't got rooted and grounded yet. But David is there. He's going to come. And he said, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And a lion came, and then a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock. A lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him. Did David just sit there and say, oh, well, one lamb, what big deal? He got up. He said, I went after him, and I smote him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. I delivered that lamb out of his mouth. The same way Jesus has delivered us from the mouth of the lion. He's delivered us from the power, everything. He didn't say you weren't going to go through hard times, but this is to teach us. I want to know and see my deliverer. I'm going to know him, not only someone teaching me these things, but it's by experience. I was scared. I was fearful. And you'll see, he says right here, I went after him. Faith doesn't just stand there. Someone who really trusts God is with him, gets up and goes. He went and arose, and I caught him by his beard and smote him, and I slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion. And he's telling, these are basically his credentials. I mean, this is who I am in the Lord. Would you want to go fight a lion? Would you want to go fight a bear? He said, and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he defied the armies of the living God. You see, David doesn't go, oh, he's going to be coming against me and all this. He's saying he defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me. Notice, he didn't say, I delivered myself. None of us can say that we were delivered from Egypt and brought to God. We can't say any of this stuff is because of our own strength and our own power. It's grace, amazing grace. The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion. He delivered me out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. You see, he'll deliver me out of his hands. Why? We just seen David knew by experience. He taught me how to use my hands for war and my fingers. And that could be to use your bow, to use your harp, to use your sword, whatever. But we do it in the right, a skillful way. And the only way we're ever going to become skillful is by God teaching us. That's how we're going to know. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, because he rightly divides the word of truth. Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." I bet he did. You know, everybody always says, "You do it." Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armored him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. But wait, he goes, "I haven't proved any of this. I don't even know if this works. How am I using his armor?" You see, a lot of people will say, "Well, you better be doing so-and-so, and you should do this." Wait a minute, I'm growing here too. I can't use your armor. If you tell me it works, I want to know it works by my experience, what I've learned. You see, Saul, all he had, apparently, did he go against the giant? No. Saul gives all of this to him, and he said, for he had not yet proved it. David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these." He said, "For I've not proved them." And David took everything that he had not proved, that was not proved by what? The word of God. By God. He took them off. He took his staff in his hand. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He chose out 5 smooth stones out of the brook. He had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. My hand to war. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on, he drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and he saw David, he disdained him. He made fun of him, said all kinds of stuff about him. "Yeah, he's just a youth. He's ruddy, fair countenance." And the Philistine said to David, now remember, our adversary is going to talk to us too, but we don't have to listen, because my sheep know my voice. We know his voice. The Philistine said to him, "Am I a dog? You're going to come to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. We have one God, one true God. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me. I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." You know, he said, "Come to me." You know what? That didn't mean nothing to David. David had already been called to come. He'd already been chosen to go forth. And I'm going to do all the stuff. Now, if the devil is telling us these kind of lies, okay, "I'm going to give your flesh to the fowls, the birds of the air, and to the beasts. They're going to eat you up." That's how the devil works today. He's telling you, you can't imagine what's going to happen to you. This is going to happen, and that's going to happen. Fear. That's what he tries to get God's people to be motivated by, fear instead of divine love. David says to the Philistine. Now, this is a man, after God's own heart, you see, his name means beloved. He said, "You know, you come to me with a sword. You come to me with a spear. You have a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." This day, it hadn't been done yet. That's faith. in action. That's someone saying, I know God is with me. This day will the Lord, not David, this day the Lord is going to deliver you into my hand. I will smite thee, and I'm going to take your head from you, and I will give the carcasses of the host to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. He just took his very weapon of fear, and he threw it right back to the giant. You see, because he knows who he is. He's God's anointed. He's God's. And he said, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword. He doesn't save with the spear. The battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. He's going to give you into our hands. It came to pass when that Philistine rose up and he came and he drew to David. David hasted. David didn't just sit there. He was coming towards him. David went. He knew. God will open up doors for you to show his grace to others. There was a lion, a bear, a giant to be a king. There are so many doors he's opening, but wait till God opens that door. And when God brings that opportunity, you know, I did not bring myself here. God brought me to this place. God opens the door. God says, come in. And God says, this I will do through you. It's that treasure in an earthen vessel that the power may be of God and not of ourselves. Any giant that you have in your life, it's going to be the power of God and not of ourselves. David hasted and he ran right towards the army to meet the Philistine. The whole army's there, but here comes that big giant. David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone. These hands are prepared for war. These hands are ready. He's going to use what God said to use. He put his hand in the bag, and he took the stone, and he sling it, and smote the Philistine right in his forehead. That stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face, right to the earth. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. There was no sword in the hand of David. He just ran over to the Philistine and he took his sword. He drew it out of his sheath and he slew him. And he cut off his head therewith and he went. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Come on, that old champion's dead. That old one who thought he was ruling everyone's life, he's dead. Jesus paid the price. He paid the price of everything. And his enemy, he took him. He took him and brought what? Victory. Great is our God and greatly to be praised. Yeah, we're going to have battles today. But he wants us to know who we are in the beloved. Know who you are. Know who's with you. Know the right weapons to use. God is going to bring you victoriously through these things. And it's all going to be through the blood. The men of Israel and Judah rose and they shouted and pursued the Philistines until they come to the valley of the gates of Ekron and wounded the Philistines fell down by the way of Sharon. And unto Gath, and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine, and he brought it to Jerusalem. I love that name, Jerusalem, the foundation of peace. And he put his armor in his tent. He put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of a host, Abner, whose son is this youth? Who is this man? I can think of that when Jesus died on the cross. They were saying, who is this? Who is this? Who was that man who died on the cross and was saying, Father, forgive him? They don't know what they're doing. He's the Father's only begotten Son who agreed with his Father, I will come down. I will come down and take their place. Because he knew without him, a deliverer, he's the captain of our salvation. It says that in Hebrews. We need him. Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, well, inquire whose son this stripling is. I want to know. And David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine. Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hands. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, thou young man? You see how they all, this little stripling, this little boy, he can't do nothing, this young man. David answered, I am the son of the servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. He knows who he is. Do you know who you are? Do you know what he can do for you? That's the whole thing. Everything's going to be, it's going to be him. It's going to be his goodness, his strength, his power. He'll give you a shoulder to lean on, but shoulder speaks of strength. He's going to help us. I looked in Romans chapter 8 to end this, and I thought, well, Lord, that's a perfect one. And go to verse 35 of Romans 8. Who shall separate you from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, a sword? Let me tell you something. Every one of those, I will know him in a greater way. I will know him in a greater way. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, all of them, persecution, famine, peril, sword, I don't care what it is. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I always say I'm more than a conqueror. We want to be the bride. There's so much more than just winning a victory and winning a fight and conquering this and conquering that. There's future things ahead. I am persuaded. Paul says, I'm persuaded neither death, life, angels, principalities, nor powers, nor things present, or anything that's to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As you look through all these things, it was because of God's graciousness, God's compassion. God was slow to anger, great in mercy, tender mercies. It's all God's works. Whosoever will may come. God is not willing that any should perish, but he wants a vessel, not that can do this and do that and look mighty. I want someone who says, without you, I'm nothing. I can't do it. It's your responsibility. I have to take the place of submission, and it's responsibility according to the ability he's going to make you able, that God giveth. God's a giving God, but he's also my heavenly Father. And he loves us. He didn't want people overtaking us and doing these things. But I tell you what, he does want us to see his power, his mighty power. I don't think he wanted Paul to have to go through that. You know, well, he did. He allowed it. But Paul said, I can't stand this thorn in my flesh. Please, God, remove it. He asked him three times. And he said, nope. I got greater things for you, Paul. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You're going to go through this. is not going to overtake you, because my grace is the power that's going to keep you.